It is the Jim Rome Show, starring me, Jim Rome. What's up? I normally never, ever, ever say this. The call screen looks really interesting right now. If you're on hold, stay there. A phone call is coming up a little bit later on. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Those calls are coming up a little bit later on, but first things first, we are joined right now by a Sports Illustrated legal analyst, an author, an attorney, the founding director of the Sports and Entertainment Law Institute at the University of New Hampshire School of Law. He is the editor of the Oxford University Handbook of Sports Law. Lots to talk to Michael McCann about. Michael, nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you back. Thanks so much. All right, so yesterday, Judge Leonard Hanser of the Palm Beach County Court granted a motion to suppress videos and any other evidence obtained pursuant to a search warrant that involved Bogcraft at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa back in January. Michael, can you break that down for us? Exactly what does granting that motion to suppress mean?
So, Jim, the most important point is that the granting of the motion means prosecutors can't use the spa videos. The videos where Kraft is videotaped having sexual experiences with multiple women in the spa, that evidence is now inadmissible. But it goes beyond that. Even the traffic stop where Kraft had been in a Bentley stopped after he was at the spa, that's also thrown out. So prosecutors are now left really with only the potential testimony of the women who Kraft saw and whether they would go on the witness stand, what they would recall. It's just a much weaker case. So a huge victory for Kraft in terms of not being convicted of this crime.
Michael McCann is my guest. So, Michael, what was the reasoning behind the judge's finding?
The basic reasoning, Jim, is that the warrant went too far, that it didn't have a limiting purpose. So basically, the prosecutor, law enforcement, for 5 days straight had videos running, recordings running inside the spa. So anyone who went in that spa, including people who were there for lawful reasons just to have a massage, including women who entered the facility, all of these people who went to those spa rooms and got naked or otherwise disrobed, they are on video, videos that are stored in government servers. And the judge felt that that's really not how a search warrant should work. A search warrant should be tailored to the individuals who are suspected of wrongdoing, not simply everyone who happens to go into a business. And he also noted that people have a reasonable expectation of privacy when they go to a spa and they go to a private room where they take their clothes off. The idea that the government is secretly watching them and recording what they're doing, and then that recording goes who knows where in terms of servers, that's really troubling. So the lack of minimization, the idea that they just simply didn't hit stop on the recording, that they videotaped everyone, that made it unconstitutional.
Legal expert Michael McCann joins us. So, Michael, if Kraft did not have the financial resources that he has to hire the attorneys that he hired, how different would this case be?
Yeah, most likely, Jim, a case like this gets resolved through a quick plea deal. Very basically, somebody does a plea deal. Often it's diversion where they don't necessarily agree to the crime, but they agree not to contest it. And then they pay a fine and they do a little community service. That's how these cases usually get resolved. He was never going to go to prison, and none of the men who were caught are going to go to prison. So that's how it probably would have ended. But his lawyers spent a lot of time on this, and they found some real deficiencies in the search warrant. And kudos to them. They were able to create a defense that convinced the judge.
We're talking to Michael McCann. Now, Michael, if you had to predict, how likely is it that that video of Bob Kraft still eventually drops, either legally or illegally?
I've got to think it's more likely than not, and I say that because, one, we know that media companies, including national media companies, have petitioned the court for access to the videos because they argue that it's newsworthy that Kraft was part of this very covered story in terms of media attention. So they're seeking it. Now, currently the videos are sealed, but that's subject to appeal. But there's a First Amendment right for news organizations. But even if the video remains sealed, I think the real risk is the unlawful disclosure. Who knows how many people have seen this video that work for the town of Jupiter or work for the state of Florida, or who could see it? And how many copies are there? You and I, we remember videos where there were actual video tapes. Now, of course, they're digital files. They're easily replicated. We have no idea how many files exist that are copies of what took place. So all it takes is for one person to sell it. And also, if it goes online, it stays online. Yeah, you can get a court order to take something down, but once something goes online, especially if a celebrity, there's always a reproduction of it.
The internet is in ink. Michael McCann joining us. So, Michael, when you look at it from an NFL standpoint, there is that matter of discipline from the league. If Kraft is not convicted of a crime, how does Roger Goodell go about approaching discipline for him?
Yeah, I certainly Goodell could still punish him. Kraft has already admitted in an apology that he took part in these activities. He's apologized for them. His lawyers have called the recordings akin to pornography. So it's clear that he was there. This isn't a case of, well, was he actually the 77-year-old guy in that room? No, it was him. I think the question for Goodell is going to be, what does that mean? We know that prostitution is associated with degradation of women, particularly women of color, and there's an argument that that Goodell needs to be mindful of that, including with sponsors, including with broadcasting companies that broadcast NFL games, that they could be offended by this, and that Kraft should be punished somehow. Now, what is somehow? We know that Jim Irsay, who pleaded out to a crime of driving while intoxicated, that compelled Goodell to suspend him for 6 games. But you could argue that's much worse, because when you're driving while intoxicated, of course, you're a danger to others. That's different than what Kraft did. We also know that Jerry Richardson received a huge fine, about $2.75 million, and many thought was encouraged to sell the Panthers because of allegations that he mistreated women who worked for him. Different here, because Kraft isn't accused of any kind of wrongdoing with women employees or anything like that. It's really about prostitution. My sense is that the most likely punishment would be a fine. I've never really thought that suspensions of owners make all that much sense. They're not playing, they're not coaching, they're not making personnel decisions. It seems more symbolic. And maybe Goodell will learn from the NBA, where Adam Silver had Mark Cuban pay about $10 million in response to allegations of workplace misconduct there, that it wasn't a fine, but it was a donation that Cuban made voluntarily, if you will. Maybe something similar like that will happen here.
Right. Or a draft pick. If you really want to get at an owner, you're right. They don't play, they don't coach, but if you take a draft pick, that'll get their attention. Michael, before you go, let me ask you about another legal issue. Bob Kraft is not the only legal matter in sports right now. There's also the ongoing legal situation surrounding this year's Kentucky Derby. Maximum Security's jockey, Luis Saez, was suspended 15 racing days by the three stewards. What was the argument behind that decision?
Yeah, the argument there is that Saez committed interference, and that he did it in such a reckless way and a careless way that it warranted that kind of punishment. Now, 15 days may not sound like an enormous punishment, but in the horse racing world, 15 days is huge. In fact, it's 5 times what a normal suspension is, and it prohibits him from sort of plying his trade. He's not able to go and race, including at the Preakness. So this is a very severe punishment. Even though it doesn't sound that bad, 15 days, it's actually very, very strict. And he will likely challenge it through the appeals process, maybe go to court. He's going to argue that even if he committed an infraction, it was an accident rather than an act of carelessness.
So where do the other legal matters surrounding the Kentucky Derby stand right now? What else is out there?
Well, we know that Gary West, the owner of Maximum Security, could sue over the disqualification. We know that there remains questions about what exactly happened. Why was there interference? Were other horses involved? Were other horses at fault? It's a story where if you ask 3 horse racing experts, you get 3 different answers as to what happened. So I suspect this will continue to play out.
Michael, one last thought. It was 1 year ago today that the federal ban on sports betting was struck down by the Supreme Court. How much has changed in the last year?
Well, but 8 states have made sports betting legal. That includes, of course, Nevada, which has had it since 1949, but 7 other states have joined. We know that another couple dozen are contemplating legislation to legalize sports betting. It has allowed states to make the decision that it's not a federal question, that the federal government shouldn't have the ability to deny states the right to determine on their own if they want to have legalized sports betting. And the industry has grown. We've seen the professional leagues, which had challenged the legalization of sports betting, now embrace it, including especially the NBA, but also the NFL as well. And I think we'll see leagues incorporate sports betting into their business models, that it will become part of the game. But there will be questions, Jim. We know that, you know, what happens if people bet on individual plays? That has often raised concerns that, you know, like in tennis, if somebody throws a play, you really can't prove that he or she did that, right? Because it's such a small thing. Will that happen in some of the sports that the major sports here in the United States? We'll see. But it's going to be interesting to see it play out.
It's going to be really interesting to see the next year or two as that plays out. He's a legal analyst, an author, an attorney as well. Michael McCann with Sports Illustrated. Michael, great job as always. Nice to have you back. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Michael McCann breaking these things down. I mean, does anybody anywhere think that that Bob Kraft video is not going to leak? Legally or illegally? To his point, and we talked about this when it first went down, it's not like somebody's sitting on that one master VHS. There are digital files. You can only imagine how many people have a copy of that. And you can only imagine what certain outlets would pay for a copy of that. Well, we're going to see it all right. Not me. I have no interest in seeing a 70-something-year-old's junk. I'm not looking for it. But if that's what you're waiting on, clones, you'll see it. It's coming. 1-800-636-8686. I said before the interview, did I never say this? I've got a very interesting call screen. So we'll take telephone calls. And in large part, that is because of the smack-off. It's coming up now in 38 days. The first set of odds are out. Compliments of Stucknut. We also added the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. And we will have him at 40 past. So there's your third. Bomb squad, 40 past the hour. And we're coming right back. Open phones next. Don't go anywhere. So what happens when you head to your man cave to watch the big game, but your remote is missing? I mean, there's the DVD remote. There's the streaming remote. But exactly where is the TV remote? It's time for Control Center by Cavo. It's the one universal remote that does everything for you. Control Center manages all of your content so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use, voice-controlled remote. And you can turn on the TV from anywhere with the Cavo mobile app. Setup is easy. You plug in your streamer, sound system, cable or satellite, even your game console. And Control Center will handle the rest for you. Make life in that man cave easier with Control Center by Cavo. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with 1 year service plan included with the promo code ROAM. $10 off the regular price of $89.95 with the promo code ROAM at CAAVO.com. Control Center is available at CAAVO.com and Best Buy service plan required. First 45 days are free. See the website for details. Control Center by Cavo, one remote that does it all.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It is golf's next major. The world's best, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger is shooting for back-to-back majors and his 16th overall, the PGA Championship this weekend on CBS. He knows that track. He's had success there. He's playing really well. Could he go back-to-back? Coming off arguably his biggest win ever. Can the cat go back-to-back? Find out this weekend. So we're covering a lot of ground, lots of different content today. We talked about the draft lottery tonight. I gave you my thoughts on the Lakers. Legal expert Michael McCann came in and talked about Bob Kraft. And rest assured, that video will come out. And then next segment, we'll talk some boxing. WBC heavyweight champ Deontay Wilder will be my guest. And then the other big thing around here is the smack-off. We're 38 days out, and there are all sorts of storylines. And I've been hammering away at this every single day. One of the storylines I have not yet hit that's always out there involves Matt in L.A. Matt in L.A. is sitting on a golden ticket. He's got the invite. A lot of you on Twitter badly want him to lose that golden ticket. A lot of you on Twitter and even on the email would say, hey, Rome, why did you give him that ticket in the first place? He doesn't deserve it. He's not good enough. Take it back. Rip it back. I haven't done that yet. I'm not going to do it just because you say so. Until this guy gives me a reason to rip that ticket from him, I'm not going to. He earned it. It's his. And we'll find out. A number of you are saying, yeah, great, Rome. Don't take it. Watch this guy flame when he hits the big stage on that day. I don't think he's too worried about it. The guy calls the show like 200 times a year. It's like any other day, right? Let's go to Matt in L.A. All right, so if you're waiting on this, if you're waiting to find out whether or not he gets choppered, you'll probably know in about 2 minutes. In Los Angeles, Matt. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Romy Rome, the sass behind the glass. Thanks for the vine. From Redondo Beach to Rwanda, you're welcome. Since the days that the jungle was 4 hours strong, since Tim Johnson was lying to his Toronto Blue Jays squad about being a decorated Vietnam vet, your boy Matt in L.A. has been having your back while biding his time in the world's most notorious sports talk show, that is the jungle on the worldwide CBS Sports Net. What up, Taz? As I get in my reps, unlike that other Matt and his side piece Skyler in tandem, pulling on those elastic nylon resistance bands, partaking in hot yoga sessions as a new age smack off training regimen, or doing a Jamal Murray Game 7 act and disappearing on the big stage like Mark and No-Show Boston did last year, I'm stepping my game up weekly, pimp, coming back hard always. And since it's smack off season, I'm calling out that gravy train, half crown rocking has been from the Midwife Mafia, aka Mikey Della Cream Pie. Hey, yo, DLC, Genie Bus thinks you're hiding out amidst the tumult, fam. That vulture carcass known as Vic and No Call thinks you're non-existent these days. Why don't you put down your adult league YMCA basketball schedule for a minute, bro, and get back to business, because you're an inferior slap-wielding past his prime Terre Haute toolbox that ain't even the don of his own Parks and Rec League, son. So don't make me use these hands on you, you chump. I do declare you ain't squat, Mike. War Matt Pastry Dish Patricia ordering Grubhub from his regular season game day headset. War Belly Clarkson singing into Jack in a Box egg rolls. Unwore Rat Sphinxes in Glendale. John and Hermit Beach and all you side busting booches hiding behind Twitter. Outro.
Matt in LA. So you're all waiting on it, aren't you? Matt? You still have your golden ticket. Rack him, Alvy. So my man's punching out of his class a little bit, right? Coming after all the big dogs. Mike in Indy, Mark in Boston, the VIC. And he is still holding on to that ticket. I like that. A lot of you are not coming in. A lot of you are just laying out, saving it all for 38 days from today. Now, Matt, he's coming in all the time still. All right, back to the phones. All right, so Jeff in SoCal called up and talked about Nooch and Little Rock and how skinny he is. Before I go to Nooch, who wants to respond, this is what Jeff had to say.
And Jim, I'm more concerned about Nooch in that picture. I mean, does this dude live in Arkansas or Darfur? Do I need to start a sponsor, a clone program, Romy? Do we need to start sending Nooch those military-sized rations of rice to keep this man nourished? Dude, if Nooch turned sideways in that picture, we wouldn't have even seen him.
That was Jeff in SoCal. And speaking of Nooch, I went to Javier's for Mother's Day, and I asked the crew there if they had seen Nooch and how that went. They said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Rome. We see all your people here. Yeah, but Nooch came all the way from Little Rock. Let's go there right now. Nooch, what's going on?
Romy, thanks for the news. Hey, Jeff, I really enjoyed your phone call last week comparing Brad Nether region to a Kindle, right? Something like that. I enjoyed it even more whenever Lefty did in 2015, bro. So what are you going to do next? Let me think about this. Maybe you can get a helicopter. No. You could bum rush the studio with a group of geriatrics who barely even know their name to snap a photo. I think you're better off just sticking to your WNBA takes. I think we like that all a lot better. And, you know, the JTP's been really curious about Beaks lately, and I want to lay that out. Beaks is a really cool guy, Jim. He was really nice. He let us crash in his folks' house. It was great. And when we attempted to return this favor to him, ask him if he wanted to crash in our hotel room, you know, knowing he would say no, and he said yes. Let me tell you, Romy, nothing says romantic getaway to Laguna like a 300-plus-pound pelican neck dude that I met on Twitter sawing logs on the pull-out couch. And I strongly considered pulling the old CPAP mask out, but I was deterred by half-chewed food particles. All right, Beaks, man, you need to have some social awareness, bro. It was an empty gesture, dude. When someone says, if there's anything you need, let me know, it doesn't mean that you actually need to take them up on that.
But if there's anything you need, bro, it's to finally spring for that neck band lap procedure that we were going to get, foghorn, leghorn. I'm out.
Hey, Alvin, he got out before you hammered him.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Dude, what are you waiting on exactly? Come on, Alvy. You got that hammer. Don't be afraid to use it. Nooch. This is what you get when you roll telephone calls on this program. This is what I get when I bang telephone calls on this program. Bro, is there a phone in Little Rock that works? Yours doesn't. John in Little Rock's doesn't. Is there any phone? Is there a hard line in Little Rock? Anybody? All right, I'm not going to end this segment of open phones with a bad call. Let's go to Los Angeles. Casey. Casey, what's up?
Yo, what's crack-a-lackin', roll me roll?
Oh, man, what's up? How you feeling?
Dude, it's all good. You know me, man. I'm old school, back from the L.A. show, you know? Smack-off season, it's in the air, man. You can feel it, brother. Looking forward to what goes down. Look, you know, and we've cracked the Lakers as much as possible, but I'm going to have to really just break it all down. First of all, this is coming from a Lakers fan since 1970, all right? So I'm all over what's happened to the Lakers, and it has been not just dysfunction, not just bad, but a disaster. Let me put it in perspective for you. The 50 years before 2014, the Lakers only missed the playoffs four times. And now they've missed it six in a row. They had never missed it two times in a row until now. See, because the problem is these are not the Lakers. There's no history anymore. Phil Jackson out. Magic out. Jerry West works right across the hall. And Dr. Buss, the greatest owner in sports, has got to be rolling over in his grave with what's happened to the Lakers, because Jeannie Buss is simply in over her head. I mean, this search for a new coach, yeah, didn't they go to Indeed.com and find some resumes? So they have interviewed everybody on the planet, including Daffy Duck, Miss Mickey Mouse, and the Seven Dwarfs. Let me run these names down to you. Bill Sharman, Hall of Fame coach. Phil Jackson, Hall of Fame coach. Pat Riley, Hall of Fame coach and administrator. Frank Vogel. What's wrong with this picture? Nobody wants this job. Nobody wants to coach this team because it's bad from the top down. Here's the answer. They need to sell the team. They need to put up a big banner in front of Staples saying basketball team for sale and put an ad on Craigslist. Because when did the Clippers get better? When Ballmer bought the team and Bigatron was out. When did the Warriors get better? When the team was sold. Heck, when did the Yankees get better? When George Steinbrenner bought them. The Lakers need to be sold. The Buss family needs to get out of the basketball business and get somebody into the business that knows what they're doing, because this is a prime example.
Casey, let me jump in. First of all, I could listen to that guy rant all day long. I wish I had his pipes. Casey is old school. He goes all the way back to the L.A. show. He picks his spots. He'll call a couple times a year maybe, or maybe not in any given year. But you're right. Nothing's going to change there until you change ownership, and you can't change ownership because she's not selling that team. So unless Jeannie Buss can take a step back and look at it and say, you know what we're doing here doesn't work. But the problem is she won't do that. This is their problem. Her problem and their problem is we're the Lakers. We're the Lakers. We got this, when they don't. They're a clown show. They're a laughing stock. They are dysfunctional. Great. You've got all this money. You've got $35 million under the cap. Who are you going to give it to? Nobody wants it. So who's running that place? Who's calling the shots? Is it her? Is it Linda Rambis? Is it Kurt Rambis? Is it Magic from Twitter? Is it Rob Pelinka? I mean, I never thought that I would say this about her, because I've said this about her a number of times. Very smart, very likable. But the fact is, she is in way over her head. Way over her head. They have missed the postseason. They've had the worst record in the NBA in the last 6 years. And how is this going to get better? Two major things. You got to find out how they do in the lottery, and we'll find out tonight. And then you got to find out how they do in free agency. But the lottery obviously is a crapshoot, and free agency isn't. Nobody wants to be here. No key free agent wants to play for the Lakers except for LeBron. And if you were to go ask him right now how he feels about that, I bet his answer might be different. There are trade rumors. Question is, where are they starting? With him, or with the Lakers, or with somebody else? Casey ain't having it. When we return, the WBC heavyweight champ, Deontay Wilder. That is next. And then an update on the smack-off odds and the players. First up, I got a bottom-of-the-hour sports update. Like we do every day at this time, here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And this segment is brought to you by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal. Feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. We are efforting the heavyweight champion of the world, the leader of the bomb squad, Deontay Wilder. So as soon as I find him, I'll put him right up. In the meantime, how do you know, or do you know, who the quarterback of the Denver Broncos is right now? Do you know who that is? Joe Flacco.
Hey,
now check that. Joe freaking Flacco. And Joe Flacco is going to light it up this year. How do I know? According to whom? Joe Flacco. That's who. See, a lot of you dopes have been thinking that the Broncos drafted Drew Locke in the second round last month. So that means that Joe Flacco's time is over and that Flacco is just there to mentor the young buck. Well, if you think that about Joe Flacco, you don't know Joe Flacco, because Joe Flacco is no one's mentor. Joe Flacco is not mentoring Jack. You know, I'll finish that thought.
Hey.
More importantly, hey, we are joined by the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, the Bronze Bomber, the leader of the bomb squad, 40-0-1, 39 by knockout. Wilder v. Brazil, Saturday night, 9 p.m. It's live on Showtime. Deontay, good to have you back. How are you?
The light was enough. Hello?
What's up, Deontay? You're on with Jim Rome. How you doing, man?
What's going on, Jim? I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good, good. Good to have you back. All right, so let me talk about that fight coming up on Saturday night in Brooklyn. You're going to face Dominic Brazil. He's the mandatory challenger for you. And you've said sometimes, Deontay, that mandatories are kind of like flies. They're always buzzing around. How do you go about approaching a fight like this against an annoying fly?
Well, just like any fly, you're ready to crush him and kill him, you know? I wish I would have had my electric fly swatter. That would have been an easier kill. You know, but all seriousness, you know, with the history and the bad blood that we have against each other, you know, it's easy. It makes it easy to get up in the morning. Makes it easy to go train and do what I got to do to prepare myself for this fight. And I've done that. I've turned every stone in camp. You know, I've trained just like a true champion should. And I'm looking forward to displaying my talent among the thousands that are going to be there and the millions that's going to be watching. It's going to be an amazing fight. And all that knows Deontay Wilder and have seen him in action, they know that I come to bring the pain and I come for dramatic knockouts. Because that's what the heavyweight division is all about. People don't want to see a 12-round fight. They want to see someone get knocked out. And that's one thing that I display. I display the dramatic knockout. And come May 18th, Saturday, you will see a dramatic knockout.
Deontay Wilder joining us. That is true, too. That's not just you talking. 40-0-1, 39 by knockout. And Deontay, you mentioned the bad blood. Brazil called you, quote, a disgrace for not only American boxing, but for heavyweight boxing in general, end quote. I know you know that quote. What is your reaction to that?
Well, you know, they all have to have something to say because they're not in the position. You know, jealousy is a disease. Envying is a disease, you know. If he was talented enough, he would have been champion a long time ago, but he's lacking the talent part of becoming a champion. So, of course, they had to have something to say. I'm the longest reigning champion, you know, and that speaks volume. That speaks for itself. What's understood doesn't have to be explained.
Deontay Wilder joining us. Now, you've said, quote, I've been up at 2 a.m. hitting the heavy bag for 12 rounds straight and still breathing smoothly. This is going to be a disaster for Brazil, end quote. It's a great quote. How do you see the fight going?
Man, knockouts. Like I always see it. Knockouts. I speak it, believe it, receive it, and it becomes mine. Like I tell people, your words are very powerful. I just talked to some elementary kids here in Brooklyn. I tell them, your words are powerful. Your mind is powerful. What you think is the law of attraction. It shall come to you. And throughout my career, that's what I've done, and that's what I've displayed. You know, it's what I speak, you know, I believe. I'm passionate about how I react to things, my action. I'm very passionate about it. And, you know, I just want people to – I'm a type of person that I practice what I preach, you know. And that's what been making me – that's what made me survive and became the longest reigning champion to this day. And I'm still carrying on that legacy. I'm still carrying on my name. And I'm looking for greatness. And that's what I shall receive.
And you are speaking it, Deontay, into existence. He is the heavyweight champion of the world. Hey, listen, if you and I go back to that fight against Tyson Fury, you were as light as you've ever been since making your professional debut. How much did you weigh for that fight, and how much do you think that impacted that fight?
Man, I weighed in at 212. By the time I had to weigh in again, my official weigh in before the fight, I got up on the scale. I've already been a myth buster when it comes to boxing. Look, I'm untextbook. I'm unorthodox. You know, many people say, oh, you need strong legs to be able to have power. My legs is probably the smallest legs in the business. They say you need weight to carry, to hang with the heavyweights. Look, I'm almost close to a cruiserweight, and I still have dramatic power. Not only in the first round, but all the way through the 12th round. I told Fury, he's going to have to be perfect for 12 rounds. I only have to be perfect for 2 seconds. And what I speak, I believe, and I received.
The leader of the Bomb Squad, Deontay Wilder, is my guest. Now, in terms of weight, since then, you've been working with specialists to gain weight without losing your speed and your explosiveness. What's that process been like? And then what do you expect to weigh when you step in the ring on Saturday night?
Oh, man, the process has been, it's been torturing. I ain't gonna lie. It's been interesting as well, too, because my nutritionist, she had me on 6 meals a day with 2 proteins. And it's been crazy just to try to fulfill my body with food, just eating when I'm not even hungry. That's the hard part, trying to eat when you're not hungry, man. I don't know anybody that tried to gain weight and try to eat when they're not hungry, but it's not fun, you know, and I've done that. It was part of training, and I had to stay disciplined, and, you know, I've got on up to 226 with all muscle, though. You know, when they did my scan for my body, I had a thin yellow line. The yellow line indicated my body fat, and I had very, very little starting out, and I'm probably still the same way now. So I'm lean, mean, and I'm always a fighting machine, and I can't wait to display it. You'll come Saturday night, and who knows what my weight is going to be, man. My weight goes up and down. It's like the weather. It changes all the time, and we're going to see on the night of the fight what I weigh in as. And if I don't come in the weight that I want, then it's not going to be no problem for me.
Deontay Wilder joining us. That fight's coming up on Saturday night. He is the WBC heavyweight champ. Now, Deontay, when you and I spoke in person in Atlanta before the Super Bowl, there was talk of an immediate rematch with Tyson Fury. How did the conversations go? And at a certain point, did you start to get the sense that they don't really want a rematch?
Most definitely. The conversation started out good. You know, we drew out the contract for him. We sent it to them. Fury and his team had the contract sitting on the desk for 5 days to a week, and all of a sudden, you know, they changed their mind. They went with the ESPN thing and the Bob Arum thing, but, you know, people were asking me, was I disappointed that they chose to decide to go that route? And I said, no, I'm not disappointed in that, because I understand as a fighter, we must look out for our health first. In that fight with me and Fury, I gave Fury a concussion. Not only did I give him a concussion, he had memory loss. This man didn't even know how he got knocked down, you know, nor did he know how he got up off the ground. He had memory loss, and that's something that is not good for your health. So I understand why they took a lesser route than coming back facing the champion. Look, he thought he, you know, with Showtime and the commentary with Fairhood scorecard, you know, when people on the outside looking in. They don't know how to judge the scorecard. And so they look towards experts to see what they're saying. So, you know, Fury said he outbeat me 12 rounds to 10. And I'm saying, if you think you beat me at that wide of a margin, then the rematch is easy to make. What other contender would not want to come in and do it again? Because knowing that if you beat me with that wide of margin, the second time would be a piece of cake with icing and a cherry on the top. But it wasn't the case. He knew what happened. I know what happened. And God knows what happened. That's why he didn't take the rematch. He wanted to go on to a lesser opposition that was ranked number 63 in the ranking, because they want to see that he still had his marbles left in his head after I've started knockout sense in his head. So, you know, now it goes on to where we are now. He signed with someone else. But the good thing about it is that, you know, I can move any way I want. These other guys have other networks that they sign with, and you know how it is in boxing. Some people work with some, and some work with others, and it's a mess. But the thing about me, I'm a wild card in this thing. I can work with anybody. So people don't have to worry about if the big fight is going to happen. The big fight is definitely going to happen. It's just taking a little time right now. But when it does, it's going to be an amazing fight again. And I can't wait. I can't wait to show everyone that I am the champion. I am the king. There's only one, and he hauls from America, baby. There will be one champion, one face, one name, and he goes by the name of Deontay Wilder.
The Bronze Bomber. Deontay, before you go, you and I have also talked in the past about how you originally got into boxing because you wanted to make money so you could care for your daughter. You've made a ton of dough, so if that was the only motivation, you could walk away. So what is motivating you and driving you right now to keep on your grind and keep putting in the work?
Well, from that point of time, having my daughter, that was the goal. Now I add six more to the family, so I have seven in all. But what drives me most of all is generation wealth. My father wasn't able to break the chain. No, well, his father able to break the chain for him, but I'm in position to break the chain, and I will. So I'm looking for generation wealth. Not only will my children be okay, but their children and their children and their children would be just fine, you know. And that was giving me the motivation to keep carrying on, to keep doing what I'm doing. You know, I got a long way to go with it when you're talking about generation wealth. So that keeps me motivated, and I won't stop until I get it. Like, again, I say, I speak it, I believe it, and I shall receive it.
Deontay Wilder, my guest. Last thought, you called knockout because that's what you do. Do you have a round in mind, Deontay?
Say that one more time.
Do you have a round in mind? What round is this going to end on Saturday night?
Man, the way I'm feeling, I'd be surprised if the man go past three rounds. But, you know, I'm not going to be the typical fighter where people are thinking I'm going to come and be. I'm not going to be the typical fighter where he is training for. You think I'm going to come in wild and loose and angry. You know, although we have bad blood, but I'm going to show people that I can keep my composure. Boxing is only being disciplined. And if you can be disciplined for 36 minutes, then you can know you can show boxing skills. I'm looking forward to showing boxing skills in this fight. So what I'm planning on doing, I'm going to beat him up. Then once I beat him up, I'm going to knock him out. But I'm looking for early rounds in this fight, that's for sure.
Saturday night, 9 p.m., live, Showtime. The WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder, going up against Brazil. He is the Bronze Bomber. He is the leader of the Bomb Squad. He is 40-0-1, and 39 of those wins by knockout. Deontay, always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much. I'll be watching Saturday.
My man, thank you so much, and y'all have a blessed day.
You too. Champ, Deontay Wilder. God, love talking to him. You know, not every heavyweight champ or every champ can comfortably wear that belt or wear that crown. I mean, there are guys that are great fighters, but they're not naturally comfortable with being that guy and everything that it represents outside the ring. Deontay is. Love it. Good energy. Quote, I'm going to beat him up and then I'm going to knock him out. That there is bad blood. I don't know, champ, why? Just because he said that you were, quote, a disgrace for not only American boxing, but heavyweight boxing in general. Bad blood over that? I love that quote. I've been up at 2 a.m. hitting the heavy bag for 12 rounds straight. I'm still breathing smoothly. This is going to be a disaster for Brazil. That's what you want the heavyweight champion to sound like. Heavyweight champion of the world is supposed to be the baddest man alive. You want him to say things like that. Mr. Toxic tweets, what is this eating when you're not hungry that Mr. Wilder is speaking of? Best regards, crepes in cranberry jelly. Third hour is an open phone hour. And I want to finish my thoughts on Joe.